Good evening. It's pleasant to see so many wonderful faces. This is our annual gathering. I'm Mara Delli Priscoli, the founder of ETC, and I'm really, really privileged to convene this meeting every year and to convene it this evening in Montgomery. I'm going to move this mic back a little. After a year of making it many trips to Montgomery, and actually I had never been to Montgomery, and I did want to ask, how many people have never been to Montgomery in the room? Take a look at those hands, Alabama. And so we're excited, really, after several trips coming here to deliver probably one of the most powerful conferences that we've ever had in ETC. And so great conferences, I don't think, really just happen. As you know, you all plan tours. They don't just happen. They really require teamwork and commitment, passion, and really purpose. And so, indeed, it took an entire army of industry veterans to pull off this meeting in Alabama and in Montgomery. So it's really my great pleasure, and really, I sincerely say that, to basically open this meeting with thanking a few people and acknowledging a few people who actually made this conference a reality, because it was teamwork for sure. Wearing the purple ribbons, as you see around there, thank you to 32 of our sponsors. You saw that wonderful video with all of the different sponsorship logos. Well, those are our sponsors that make this meeting possible. They bring the food and the collateral and all the different books and things to make it possible to bring some wonderful speakers, including our Bold Talk speaker this evening. And so I'd encourage you, they're on rooms one, they have like in the Partners Boulevard 1 through 32, their booths. Please stop by and just say hello to them. Just be hospitable. We sure have been really treated with a great hospitality here. So let's show them a little bit of ETC hospitality and walk by and say thank you. And I'd also like to give a really gracious note of thanks to two ETC members and actually longtime sponsors at this conference who have generously shared their time and expertise. I don't know if you knew that, but they dove deeper into Alabama's history with you. And basically at the Rich, they've been working at really the community-based level. And they have helped develop the pre-conference seminar on wheels. And one is Janet Moore from Distant Horizons. Janet. She's the owner of Distant Horizons, and she's designed and operated, I would say, probably some of the most experiential learning programs for civil rights in Alabama. And I'm sure you're very familiar. She was on all the trips on the seminar on wheels. And I also would like to introduce Steve Cox from International Expeditions. Now, I didn't know Steve. I've known Steve for a long time, and actually the only time I've been in Alabama was in Birmingham to visit him. But I didn't know that he actually, for several years prior to this, he's been planning and developing community-based tourism throughout the rural part of Alabama, which is amazing for service learning projects. So he's contributed a lot to the Black Belts of Alabama. So thank you both, because those have been terrific trips. And their collaborative programs, I mean, they're both tour operators, they both serve this community, but they worked hand in glove together, and that really shows the community spirit of this community. I mean, words can't express that. It was wonderful. Also wearing the white ribbons. There are white ribbons. I mean, we're really into ribbons at this conference. Some people work to get really long ones and short. I don't even have one, but I want to thank, that's the advisory council that are wearing those white ribbons. And basically, their leadership and guidance and their dedication has really moved ETC to another level of growth. I'd say this at this point, we're at 2.0, we call it our conference. They devote great attention to the educational underpinnings of the conference every year, and they hugely influence the generation of programming you're going to see at this conference now. Each member of the council takes on specific projects. This year, have a Jumpstart. We had 23 new Jumpstart members in Jumpstart. That has really escalated since last year. So thanks to our colleagues on the advisory council who took that on, we had a wonderful program. And as you can see from the photos, it looks like we had a lot of fun, but we were really working very hard, too, in this hotel every morning. I also want to thank you, actually, to you in the audience, because I have to say that all of the represented constituent groups, the destinations, the planners, the operators, and the foreign tour operators, if without your participation, we couldn't convene this meeting, and that's the purpose of our efforts every year. So to see your faces every year is the reward that we get to say we have something to show you, and thank you for being here. And then wearing the green ribbons, you'll see some green ribbons which are rather interesting, and those are representing people who attended the actual, we call them our regional roundtables, and that's a grassroots effort to really bring programming into the conference. So we bring all the constituents together, it's really convivial, and basically we talk about the conference, the issues, the challenges. So a lot of this conference programming comes out of those regional roundtable meetings. So I want you to see, they'll say programming on them, that's what that means. And personally, I'd like to thank you for having the opportunity to serve this community for over three decades. It's really led me to a most inspired life, and I don't understate that. I've been able to live and learn, work, and actually laugh with a lot of the most passionate and thoughtful people in the travel industry in the world. So I do thank you for that. And it's also been an interesting year ramping up for this trip to Montgomery. When the announcement went out for Montgomery, people said, why Montgomery and why Alabama? And I said, well, why not? I mean, that's the question I asked. I came and saw, so maybe you might want to think about that. So I would say, however, that all I could say is that Montgomery speaks a lot to about what this conference is and what we do here. Following a strategic agenda to choose destinations that are authentically present and be able to walk the talk of sustainability, Montgomery fills the bill and a lot more. Montgomery is, of course, an American state capital, and it's steeped in complex history, but it's also a city that's provided us a very real entree to deliver people-to-people experiences that are extremely authentic as we strive to give those same experiences to our travelers worldwide. Hopefully many of you already will attest to this way because you've traveled around on the learning labs today, and I've only heard great comments, and a lot of powerful emotions came out of those meetings. So I thank everyone that was involved with the Learning Labs and for you taking them today. It's also a city where ETC can have a positive impact. We have a big positive impact on what we call in the travel industry a tier two city, and we have had that in, so we feel that's important too as we pick cities in the future of where we go. Basically, I would say that Montgomery today, though, is also, I mean, we just didn't pick it for all those reasons. It's really thriving with music and culture. There's going to be music in this hotel every night. And I know, thanks to our hotel colleagues here, they have some really local libations for you every night to try out. So they're going to be switching them out. And so I encourage you to kind of go toward the bar. And actually, when the bar closes, the restaurant's going to open as a bar. So you're going to be well served. We made sure to 2 a.m. But I also wanted to, we know, right? The local support here by Destination Montgomery has been stellar. And Don Hathcock, Don, if you could just, thank you. She's the Vice President of Montgomery Chamber of Commerce and the President of Destination Montgomery. And the brand development, it's quite a title there, in collaboration with the Renaissance Montgomery Hotel. And I think Craig is sitting here. There's our GM of the hotel, right here. Because we had to ensure that this venue is going to be affordable to come to. And it took the two of them to cooperate to come up with a program and package that we could afford to come here. And they sure did that in spades. Thank you. They also were the host of the ETC Advisory Council mid-year meeting. So they've contributed quite a great deal. In terms of programming this year, I think that it's, we're extremely excited about the programming, obviously, because it started out with a bang. We never did 3 days of Seminar on Wheels before, and we didn't do all these learning labs. But this year, based on the feedback, we've really added two new tracks to better serve everyone. We have a very advanced veteran group here in the conference, and we have an advanced track for them to talk about some more strategic issues. And we have a fundamentals track that really is the nuts and bolts, and it kind of is a refresher for those who want to brush up on a few topics. So that's running throughout the conference, and it was very deliberate and very strategic, so we need your feedback on that, because we only will enhance that in the future. We also have what we call 50% increase in networking. We're dividing the group, slicing and dicing everyone so that people aren't looking at a badge, they're looking at a human being, and they're there because they share a common purpose. And for the planners, we're dividing the planner groups by the type of programs they offer, the mission they serve, or the number of programs they might have, or where they're operating. So, and we've zeroed in our innovation track. That was new last year in Bermuda, and we're featuring sessions inside the hotel and outside the hotel. And I think that's really in response to the rallying cry that the travel industry is saying that they want transformational travel. People are calling that term transformational travel. So I think that we're all aspiring to give those moments to our travelers. So we're actually going to drill down on how you deliver those moments in this conference. So there's that invitation track. Take a look at it. It's very, very good. And we have some wonderful outside speakers coming in for that. Tapping into the destination expertise in this room, which we haven't done over many years, it's stellar. We basically are always pushing the boundaries of travel, but we're not asking our colleagues who came from foreign destinations and actual destinations to come and share with us some of the insider tips. Not sales, not come because it's a great destination, but here's what's new, here's something that would be intriguing, here's what you really need to show your travelers. So the destinations deep dive, a lot of work was put into that this year, so you might want to try and look at that track tomorrow. I know there's a lot of competition for sessions, so just pick what you feel is going to really inspire you and go for it. And also, we have developed a really strong sustainability track throughout the conference. It's really taken leap years. We have a sustainability advisory council, and they have really put some work into this. So you'll see quite a few things. Basically, there's a lot of people. We've invited you to submit sustainability initiatives. You'll see stars in the bazaar on people who have donated those and said, here, listen, come ask me about my sustainability initiative. So that's a good way to break the ice. Go talk to someone. Find out what they're doing, because I bet you really don't know. So what are the three overriding objectives that this conference is really looking at in the programming? And so you sit down and you say, why are we bringing this together? What's the purpose? We're bringing all these people together. Yes, we want to meet. We want to have some business. But I would say that the overarching questions that our 2019 agenda addresses is how can educational travel facilitate the negotiation of a volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous local and global environment? Why can educational travel, in particular, have an impact on promoting sustainability and environmental responsibility at the community level and facilitating deepening engagements of travelers, not only to our institutions, but to as global citizens? And how can educational travel stay current and relevant? And what are the key areas we need to hone skills for better administration, communications, and marketing for travel? And how can we innovate to grow and differentiate our programs? I would say many, and I've talked to some colleagues, but I feel this way, many will agree that we are really in, quote, and I think this is Rob, the golden age of travel, of educational travel. Let's just say educational travel. And I have to say, in all the years I've been in it, this is the time for educational travel. The mainstream is on the mainstream travel is on the bandwagon. And basically, people are looking more and more to experience, to really look for personal fulfillment. It's not just going to see a place, it's going to see a place and how it relates to them within. So my question is to the group, I mean, are we going to keep that leading edge or that cutting edge that educational institutions had at one point in educational travel? Because it is becoming the mainstream for a lot of tour operators. And there's a proliferation of these boutique operators. You can get programs online and offline. So I think that's a focus. And so I'd like to see us remain and keep a competitive edge on educational travel. And so that a lot goes into our programming this year. I'm going to keep this short because we have some wonderful people here waiting to address you tonight. So I will move along. We have bold talk speakers, brief opportunities for learning development. So we will have five of those at the conference. And our first bold talk would be this evening. There are two sponsors that were featured tonight that helped us bring this wonderful bold talk to you. And I think for just a few brief minutes, they're going to share a bit about their destinations. I think you'll enjoy it on both counts. But first, I'd like to invite Mr. Zhao, Deputy Director of the General Beijing Municipal Cultural and Tourism Bureau. Mr. Zhao. And if you'll bear with me, I will do some translation. Now, I'm not actually, I'm reading the translation. Respected President Mara, dear distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, good evening.
很高兴我能够来到非常美丽的蒙哥马利市，借此机会我仅代表北京市文化和旅游局和大家一起这参加第33届国际游学联盟大会，向美国游学界的各位朋友们介绍北京游学资源，所以借此机会向ETC的成功举办表示热烈的祝贺。
It is a great pleasure to be able to join you at the Educational Travel Consortium's 33rd conference to promote the educational resources of Beijing.
北京在过去的改革开放40年里，已经通过古老和现代的相互交融，发生了令人惊叹的改变。历史的古典的建筑和传统的区域，变成如今的特色的酒店、前卫的艺术区、皇家御膳、艺术博物馆。科技创业的空间以及表演的艺术区。
Within the past decades of reform and opening up, Beijing has been literally transformed through the interplay of ancient and contemporary, extending from amazing readaptation of historic buildings into upscale hotels to avant-garde art districts and an intoxicating fusion of provincial culinary arts to startup spaces for technology and performing arts.
近几年，北京也在不断地挖掘特色的旅游资源与科教旅游。中医药健康旅游、文博旅游等，我们希望能够让更多的游客了解中国传统文化的精髓，感受不一样的东方文明。
In recent years, Beijing has also continuously developed exclusive tourism programs such as traditional Chinese medicine travel, architecture, museums, cultural travel. From these new travel programs, travelers will have the in-depth educational experience, not only with the knowledge, but also the hands-on experiences, such as body massage lessons and acupuncture experiences. So they can bring the knowledge back and be benefited for a long time. We do hope that more tourists can experience the essence of traditional Chinese culture and the distinguished Oriental civilization.
今日的北京正在致力于建设国际一流的和谐宜居之都。正在以高标准地筹办2022年的冬季奥运会，城市的面貌日新月异。
Today, Beijing is committed to building a world-class, harmonious, and livable city. The visage of the city can change with each passing day. Beijing is preparing the organizational work for the 2022 Beijing, Winter Olympics.
在此，我仅代表北京市文化和旅游局，诚挚地邀请在座的各位参加今年4月。在北京开幕的世界园艺博览会，8月份召开的国际商务及奖励旅游展览会，和北京国际游学大会。
Here, please allow me on behalf of the Beijing Municipal Cultural and Tourism Bureau sincerely welcome ETC members and travel planners, tour operators and suppliers to come to Beijing and participate in the International Horticultural Exhibition in the coming April, IBTM in China, and the International Educational Travel Conference, both of which will be held in August 2019 and hosted by the Beijing Municipal Cultural and Tourism Bureau.
您将亲眼地见证北京的历史变迁及荒城古都的魅力，亲身的感受充满科技创新活力和现代时尚的国际大都市的魅力。
These venues deliver educational platforms, professional meetings, as well as immersive learning experiences, unexpected discoveries, and people-to-people exchanges in and around Beijing. You'll experience the new and amazing Beijing.
谢谢大家。
I have to say that I had the privilege of speaking with my colleague Katie Jo Walter from Oregon's University of Oregon at the first educational travel conference that they had in Beijing. We spoke about people-to-people learning experiences and did a whole thing, and it was really, really quite powerful. So I thank my hospitality and my guests when I was in China. Also on your table, you're going to see a little quiz, and if you fill out that quiz, because they'd like to get some information back about what you like to see in Beijing, you can qualify for... this wonderful, great prize. So I would hurry off. And there's going to be a tea house for the first time. So we'll have a tea house in the bazaar. So there you'll be able to stop by and say hello to all the colleagues. We have quite the delegation from Beijing here. Our second, I would like to introduce Michelle Lariviere. Is Michelle here? Yes, thank you. He is the International Marketing Specialist from Travel Manitoba. And he's representing ETC in the Space 27. But I wanted to let you know that Travel Manitoba is hosting the ETC Mid-Year Advisory Council in June. So we're very grateful for that. Thank you, Michelle.
Well, thank you, Mara. You did such a great job translating. I wanted to maybe give my remarks in French, and you can do a live translation if you want as well. Mara does speak a little bit of French. So hello, everyone. My name is Michel Larivière. I'm with Travel Manitoba Canada, and it's my privilege today to co-sponsor this Bold Talk and share with you some of Manitoba's most exciting experiences. For those of you who don't know, Manitoba this year has been selected by Lonely Planet as one of their top destinations to visit in 2019, which is the only Canadian destination to receive this distinction honor. So I wanted to show you a video of my home province of Manitoba to show you what we have to offer. I welcome you all to come visit us one day. Just wanted to wish you a great conference and thank you.
We can't wait, Michael. Michelle, we can't wait to go up there. This evening's Bold Talk, we're going to move toward that. It's seeking higher ground. We as travelers, who can we become, sets the tone for the entire conference, I feel, and the venue in Montgomery, and certainly the ETC community at large. And it invites a set of personal challenges to you as travel planners and tour operators, even as you meet others at the conference, to really see others, to listen, to engage, and to really look and perhaps look at a person and be open to hear new ideas that expand beyond your personal reference base. Our bold speaker, Peggy Wallace Kennedy, joins us today as a Montgomery civil rights activist who is recognized as one of America's most important voices in peace and reconciliation. She is highly sought after as a national speaker, and we're very fortunate certainly to have her here tonight. And an interesting fast fact, on the 50th anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery March, Peggy joined Reverend Bernice King, daughter of Dr. Martin Luther King, on the Alabama State Capitol steps as a living testimony to the power of change and reconciliation. Her life has been thoroughly entwined with, and what many would say, are Montgomery's and Alabama's most important historical periods of change. She was born into one of the most powerful political families of the American South, with both parents having served as governors of Alabama. And during a time of great unrest, when many were clamoring and fighting for change, and others were desperately holding on to and trying to cling to the past, and with many risking their lives in the process, Peggy's ability to acknowledge wrongs through her transformational personal story is an example of the power within to find a deeper understanding, equality, dignity, and compassion for all human beings within and across our borders. I can think of no better way to drive home this year's conference theme than to have Peggy share her global message from a truly local heart. Peggy, would you join us on the podium? Thank you.
Welcome to the city of Montgomery, Alabama. 200 years of triumphs, struggles, revolutions and revelations, heartache and happiness, defeats and victories. Raising voices to the sky, singing, "We shall overcome." Sitting along the banks of the Alabama River that flows southward to a bay, then on out to sea, shouldering the history of pain and suffering, but reminding others that without rivers, there would be no bridges to cross to the other side where liberty and justice resides. Tonight, we are surrounded by buildings, streets, and other places that bear the sorrows of struggle and the nobility of change. A city built on the soil of shared sorrows and memory of those who suffered and died in a civil war intended to destroy our American democracy. For the 435,000 men, women, and children who were sold into slavery, for those who were freed following a war, but far from being free as they were denied the rights of the common man. Lynchings in the dark of night, no justice, no hopes in mother's eyes. Montgomery is a city of repose, lying at rest on city streets, but history never sleeps. You have seen monuments of stone and steel that remind us of our history in remembrance of people and places where history resides, a complex and still incomplete study of the character of mankind. Truth to see and accept, forgiving others as well as ourselves. Hallowed ground on the other side of sunsets where grief can be laid down. A place to shoulder the burden of moving beyond the indignity of slavery, of coming to terms of the history of horror, of lynching men, women, and children with no justice, ignoring the principle and the value of, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and the courage and character of African men, women, and children who were beaten, belittled and denied the bounty of hope for better days, raising their voices in song. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe that we shall overcome one day. The mothers and daughters, fathers and sons of the American Civil Rights Movement never wavered in their belief that justice would come, and they prayed for the day when the fair winds of freedom and following seas would carry them to the shores of a life without fear and a heart of purpose. Their courage in the face of danger and their humanity in the face of God gave them the courage to stand up and demand the full bounty of freedom and justice for all. There's power in all of us to reach out, to support, and stand firm in the belief that all of our lives count for something. For how can our children stand on mountaintops if we do not teach them how to climb? For most of my life, I lived in the shadow of history. My life was measured by who I belonged to rather than who I was. Always supporting but never leading, always believing in others but never in me. Always in the crowd but never breaking away. Believing that my life would be measured by the accomplishments of others, but never by my own. My parents, George and Lurline Wallace, were the most powerful, beloved, and controversial governors in Alabama history. From segregation to reconciliation was my father's journey along his own road to Jericho. Breaking away from a painful past is not always easy, but it is always right. And for today and all the tomorrows to come, I hope that each of you, all of us, can find opportunities to inspire others, serve others, and build legacies of our own. Believe that our world is at her best when she embraces all of us, protects the least of us, and offers her bounty of hope and prosperity to not just some of us. Now is the time to stand shoulder to shoulder for the sake of a better world, rather than looking over our shoulder at the past. Living your lives with inspiration, always aspiring to make the choice that leads you to higher ground, that guides you to understanding and purpose of just not who you are, but who you can become. On August the 28th, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King, the former pastor of the Dexter Avenue Baptist Church here in Montgomery, and recognized throughout the world as the leader of the American Civil Rights Movement, stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington and told America that he had a dream. "I have a dream," he said, "that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racist, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right down there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers." On March the 25th, 1965, after walking for 3 days from Selma, Alabama to Montgomery, Dr. King led 25,000 people into the city and up Dexter Avenue to the state capitol to deliver a petition requesting that African American citizens be given the right to vote in the state of Alabama to Governor Wallace, and he refused to meet with them. On the 50th anniversary of the Selma to Montgomery March, Dr. King's daughter Bernice and Governor Wallace's daughter Peggy stood on the steps of the Alabama Capitol and held hands as thousands of people walked up Dexter Avenue toward them. For that moment in time, Bernice and I became the embodiment of that little black girl and that little white girl holding hands as sisters down in Alabama. Dr. King's dream had come true. Bernice and I served as testaments to the power of reconciliation, of change through understanding, and unconditional love. I sometimes wonder how the course of history might have been different if back in 1965, Dr. King and Governor Wallace had known that one day that little black girl and that little white girl holding hands as sisters down in Alabama would be their own daughters. All of us come to this moment, to this place, On the road of our own life's experiences, we are diverse, both in our experiences, our aspirations, and our dreams, but we are united in the common belief that a vision for a more just world is worth the saving. All of us are unique. All have a history and a story that is worth the telling. There's power in who we are and where we come from. Every one of us cannot live on a stage for all to see, but all of us have something to share that makes us unique, the fabric of our lives. We must know where we come from before we chart our course for the future. Now's the time we must hold hands together rather than holding down the inherent rights of others. For no one can ever measure the true worth of a mended heart that beats because someone cared. Tolerance must be more than what we believe. It must be what we live, and leading by example is what we must do. Tolerance does not always mean agreement, but tolerance always requires understanding and compassion for others. If each of us lives a life of purpose and hope, we will never have to think about the cost of a lost opportunity to say the right thing or stand up and be counted. And in the sunrises of our tomorrows, we must rise up and again stand shoulder to shoulder to face the challenges that lay ahead. There's power and confidence in feeling loved and respected for who you are and what you believe. It is the reaching out and touching a soul that brings out the humanity in others. An opportunity for each of you, an obligation for all of us to see others, feel others, and celebrate others, respecting their humanity for who they are. Montgomery, Alabama, the place I call home, welcomes you all. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Peggy. Your parting charge to the group is really defines who we are and what we do every day with our groups and why we continue to bring people across borders for understanding and for cultural exchange. And I think that you said it very eloquently from your heart and from your life. So thank you very much. It's very hard to continue. But I must. I would like to give our last acknowledgement to someone who's actually helped this conference come here and to really facilitate a lot of your experiences. Basically, it's one of the sponsors who contributed to hosting your seminar on wheels and also is going to be hosting your dinner, A True Taste of Alabama, coming up. So I would say that our dinner host, Mr. Lee Centel, Director of Alabama's Tourism Development Department, a respected leader in the industry with an energy and passion to share his state's history and his contemporary vision to all. Lee has orchestrated many, many innovative and educational tourism initiatives serving under three state governors, including the design and funding of UNESCO civil rights landmarks, and this is very important. What better display of true Alabama hospitality than the dinner Lee has personally, and I have to say he has personally planned this, with a celebrity chef, Alabama's own Scott Peacock. Is Scott here? No, he's probably in the back. Oh. He's cooking. in concert with Chef Dean at the Renaissance Montgomery, Lee invites you to experience one of the most amazing and authentic introductions of Alabama's history through its culinary traditions. Thank you, Lee.
Where's Rosemary? Rosemary Judkins, come out this way. While Rosemary is coming up, I want to say that I was in the audience that Peggy just talked about during the 50th anniversary. There was a tent that was set up for the 100-member congressional delegation, and I wound up being seated on the second row next to Nancy Pelosi. And when Peggy finished her speech, and when she explained when she was taking her young son to a museum, and I think there were like large photos of Governor Wallace in a defiant mood, and the youngster said, "Why was Pawpaw so unhappy?" And Peggy explained to him, "Pawpaw was wrong." There was not, even Nancy Pelosi teared up. Rosemary's the person who has put this entire event together. She is now the way it usually is. She stands behind me and tells me what to say. No, but I appreciate Mara mentioning the UNESCO project. We created the U.S. Civil Rights Trail with some with the other surrounding southern states a year ago, but it started as a project to nominate major civil rights landmarks across the South as UNESCO World Heritage Sites. We are 4 years into a six-year process to do this. And even though we're going to be nominating sites in other states, the Alabama Tourism Department is paying for the whole thing. Because because we're working with the direction of the National Park Service, and in July of 2021, we expect that to happen. We don't know which sites the National Park Service will decide which ones to be nominated. But I wanted Rosemary to come up here because Peggy, nobody can say a bad word about Governor Wallace, because Rosemary was one of the first African Americans that he hired, and she has been with state government for 32 years and started because of Governor Wallace. And what I'm excited about tonight, she will be unhappy for me to tell this, but today is her birthday. And that's why she invited 300 of her friends from around the world to come and be here tonight. But tonight you're going to be at round tables. When we were asked to host this, I said, okay, on the condition this is not a banquet long. I said, I want to immerse people into the Southern food culture. So if you're from the Alabama tourism industry, stand up. You're gonna have hosts at your table. There will be a person from either CVB or an attraction, because we're celebrating not just the Civil Rights District in the Central Alabama, but also the Space and Rocket in Huntsville, the Mardi Gras founding city in Mobile, and throughout the state. But all of these people are your host, and we're delighted to have you here. I don't know if you'll need to translate this phrase, but when I found out that Montgomery 1 year, Beijing the next year, I thought, this is some high cotton. Thank you.
Okay, can everyone read that up there? Oh, you can't even get through that in an hour, even saying the menu, let alone eating the menu.
So I wanted to just say that the conference, are we listening to a little film? Do we have a film? This is really short, but it's just a brief overview in Alabama.
My grandpa was always telling me about it.
But the civil rights thing happened like a million years ago.
Still, he thought it was important that I know what it was like.
So we followed the civil rights trail to Alabama. We saw Dr. King's church,
the bridge in Selma, the church in Birmingham, and I finally knew what he was talking about.
Some things you just have to experience for yourself.
So, the official conference welcome only continues, not in this room, but we'll be moving after dinner, which is going to be just next door. We're going to move over to the International Bazaar at 8:45 for libations. We had 24 hosts this year, a little bit beyond what we had last year, so that's exciting. And now, I just want, with no further ado, I want to really thank our gracious host, Lee Centel, the representatives of the Alabama Tourism, and also Peggy, our keynote speaker here tonight, and she actually will be joining us with her husband for dinner, which is wonderful. So if you maybe you can get a few words with Peggy when you're in the dining room. And also to thank our host of the World Talk, which is Mr. Zhao from Beijing, and also Michael Lacriviere from Manitoba. Thank you so much, and have a great conference. That's the point of the whole thing.